Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Ah! There you go. Guttural scream of a different kind. Ben and Woods this morning. So many levels to that guttural scream. The infallible Dodgers, one of them. I just sounded like Joe Davis. Do you hear that? The infallible Dodgers. The Mike Schilt, Kevin A.C. Peach in the San Diego Union Tribune.
Woo! Man.
The winter storm that ravaged San Diego yesterday. I'm just going to do all day in Joe Davis voice. All day. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Needed to get it out. Certainly. A 72-hour news cycle for our manager retiring from baseball. I'm Woochie. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, buddy. And Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. How are you? It's going to become a habit.
Please don't.
It's going to become a habit.
Try not to let it.
I already have to hear him on my TV tonight.
I know.
I don't need to hear it this morning.
Maybe. I heard he's got food poisoning from that pink turkey he ate the other night. I saw it on Awful Announcing. One of the guys said, I think he might have food poisoning because he ate that very pink, undercooked turkey. Imagine not knowing that Joe Davis would never actually cook a turkey, that he jumps through barbed wire fences at midnight and eats turkeys whole. Like, that's what he does. He's vampiric. Right? Imagine not knowing that that's how he consumes turkeys. He sneaks into graveyards and turkey coops, eats them whole, and then goes back to his home. Right? But that would be interesting. Yeah, we already do have to hear him this evening. But yeah, we've got a lot to get to today. I wanted to check on everybody out there. Hope the tier ones are okay. The rainstorm that came through yesterday, I'll say it was a little bit dicey. It was a little bit dicey for us here, a little bit of weather.
We get very excited at a television news station
Betty.
A bit of weather. As you can imagine.
Yes, dude.
All hands on deck.
Which is insane. It rained.
It rained.
Oh,
some wind.
Oh, my goodness.
It was windy. As I was driving, God dang it, this camera. As I was driving home from my physical therapist, my guy, and I sounded. He does my body work, which always sounds weird. It was an Oceanside, and the palm tree fronds were all over the road. I was weaving around them. I was like, whoa. Yeah. I didn't want to run over them because one would have a giant stalk, would go up through them and pierce my carburetor or something. But, dude, driving home, and then I would go pick the kids up from school and get them both home. And all of our Halloween decorations in the yard had been blown down from the trees. It was like skeletons and witches all over the yard, blown everywhere. I'm like,
how'd you guys recover?
We just hung them back up. Hung them back up once the rain stopped, you know, like normal people do. I didn't. I think my wife did. I walked right through it. So I'm assuming she hung them back up.
Did the community come together in this time of crisis?
But the best was
neighbors helping neighbors.
The best was this. Kind of amble into the kitchen. I ambled into the kitchen and my wife watches Fox 5. I do apologize. It's always on in our house. Sorry, Ben.
She knows I was anchoring last night.
Yeah,
right?
But her dad, you know, it's
also
just,
worked at my station for many years.
Yeah, but in like the 70s, I think. So I
worked with him at my station for many years.
Fair.
But fine.
Have you seen Troy Hirsch?
Have you seen Troy Hirsch? She's very handsome. So she has Fox 5 on. And they're doing their rain coverage. And I'm SU not. When I see the guy is on the street, he's got the slicker on. The hoodie on, over. I'm out here, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know where he was. You can see that there's water, and it's pouring into the gutter here. And if you can see it's a steady stream. On God, he takes the microphone. He holds it down to the water to get the sound of the water going into the... I looked at him, and I go, is he? He is. And she's like, you have no idea. Because when she worked there, she goes, It was like all hands on deck.
It's part of the job.
Rain team and the whole thing.
We had our reporter Ryan Hill out in El Cajon with the rain slicker on in the rain covering the high winds in the East County. And he breathlessly tosses to the video and he goes, and we obtained this video of a dumpster with the lid bouncing up and down a little bit. Oh, no. A trash dumpster blowing in the wind.
Sitting there in power stance. Hi, Kimberly.
This was me. Hi, Ben. And I walk out of our 5 o'clock news and I see our producers and news director standing there. I go, are we sure we don't want to move that dumpster video to the lead at 6 o'clock? I mean, San Diego's got to see this.
It's unbelievable. Just like this. Like
send that in to ABC National News.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty embarrassing.
David Muir, let's check in on what's going on. The tragedy in San Diego.
We've got audio.
Palm trees are swaying.
I've got audio of water going into a gutter. Here we go. Listen to this. I was crying laughing. I go, this is unbelievable. What a city we live in. It's just, you know.
Now, Megan did a great job with the weather forecast. There was tons of accidents on the road. It was a mess out there.
It was
a mess out there, and it was worth covering. But we do it in a somewhat comically breathless way when it rains here in San Diego. We do.
And it's not a bit. If it was a bit, it would be hysterical. But they don't do it as a bit. They do it as, like, real coverage, which you have to on the news. You can't do bits on the news, which I think is stupid. You should. JH619 says, you asshats can't drive. JH, that is the same comment that people make in Minneapolis, Chicago, New York, Dallas, Austin.
You've lived in most of these
places. I've lived in almost every one of these cities. It's not native to California. It's not. I've lived in like 8-9 states. You know, there's some dude right now in Omaha, Nebraska. It's, few people cannot drive in the rain, man. It's standard.
First time through a tornado?
Yeah, exactly. So it's standard. The thing is here, and I heard this years ago, it never rains here. So the roads are slick.
Yeah.
When it does rain, the roads, it makes sense because there's oil and things that leak out on the road.
To my knowledge, they literally weren't built for rain.
Correct.
Like most roads have some sort of a curve. Where the water will just run off.
Yeah.
And San Diego, we're like, it doesn't rain here.
There's plenty of places in San Diego where you're like, dude, I'm driving through a pond right now. So it's not set up for. You can see it here. You know, we play baseball at these fields sometimes, and it hasn't rained in 3 weeks. And the umpire's like, watch out for this giant standing room puddle. I'm like, what is this doing here? He's like, so from the last rain we had back in June. And it just doesn't, they just don't drain here. I don't understand it. But the streets get very slick. And it's you know, it's a little bit more difficult to drive on. So I'm not going to trash my fellow San Diegans at all because it does get a little weird. It was a little windy. I enjoy it a little bit. Got a little nap in yesterday while the kids watched a movie. And got up this morning. I put a pot roast on this morning before I came to work. Cutting up onions, carrots, the whole bit. It's going to be simmering.
It's cooking right now.
It's cooking right. I can smell it. It's going to be when I get home today. We've got parent-teacher conference. It's conference week. And then next week is fall break. When I get home from conference. It's ready. Like, it's it's been simmering slowly for, at that time, it'll be about 8 to 10 hours.
You sear it off first?
I don't sear it off. I never have.
You
just
put it raw I raw dog it into the pot.
Raw dog it in the pot. I put a beer in it, and I put some beef broth and my spices and things that I put, and then carrots, potatoes, and onions. And then I set it on low, and oh, my God, it is... I make elite pot roast.
You put ketchup on it when you
eat
it?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, just making sure.
No, I'm not a serial killer.
Some people do.
So I got that going, excited about that. And I like when it gets a little bit, you know, nippy like that. It's fall. Fall's here. It's arrived.
It'll go away soon.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be 85 degrees again, yeah, which is fine. But, man, today will be another interesting day on the Ben and Woods program, certainly. We will be talking about the latest piece that dropped from Kevin Acey last night. And we'll talk about, if you haven't heard about it yet, it's fairly spicy. I had an inkling that it was coming, certainly, because we've now been through this four times. This is the fourth time we've gone through this as a show, right?
New manager.
Green fired, Tingler hired. Tingler fired, Melvin hired, Melvin quit, Schilt hired, Schilt quit. Mm-hmm. We all were on the Zoom call yesterday with AJ Preller. We should just replay it in its entirety. We're not going to, but we could. And I'd feel okay about it because many people might not have heard it. But we'll talk about what we've gleaned from that, which, as usual, the end of the year press conference where you have to find a new manager that happens every other year. I didn't learn a ton. I zoned out a couple of times. There were some interesting questions asked. There were some terrible questions asked. There were some interesting answers-ish. And then some, I kind of expected this. But I think the real topic du jour is the piece by Kevin Acey last night. And I could honestly go line by line through this thing. It is pretty fascinating. And let me say this out of the chute. There was nothing in that article that surprised me even a little. Not even a little. I knew.
It was still shocking a little bit to see some of the accounts like in print. It was kind of like you're like, yeah. Wow, that's out there. Yeah, now. Yeah, yeah. Like that's a thing now.
But
it just confirmed a lot of things that you might have already thought.
I also want to be careful because I said this when Bo Mel quit. You know, I liked Bo Mel. I thought he was a great manager in the fact that, like, he had a really good pedigree. And I tried to find anything bad that anybody would say about him when we hired him. I couldn't find one. Not one. Not one person was like, yeah, dude, you're going to actually – his root beer barrel bit is really going to rub you raw. And he's going to drive you crazy. He never drove me crazy. We never really got to talk to him. We didn't do a manager's report, really. We talked to him a couple times a year. Pretty – convivial when we'd see him in the dugout, like nice enough, but we never really got to know Bo Mel. Now, you know, the clubhouse fell apart under him and that sucks, but I also don't want to do the bit that San Diego media has done forever is I don't want to dance on somebody's grave. Not that Mike Schilt's dead, but I don't want to dance on his grave. I don't think Kevin was doing that either necessarily, but this is what happens. A little bit. This is what happens. This happens every time. Why is anybody surprised?
Don't you think this is worlds different than crapping on Andy Green after he got fired or something? Like, nobody expected.
Remember, Mike Schilt didn't get fired. He chose to walk away. Now, would this have all come out had he still been the manager today? That's what I'm curious.
That's a really good question.
But what Wood said, I agree with. And I'm not going to say that I wasn't at least, I was a little surprised, certainly wasn't shocked, like AJ said yesterday when...
To take a page out of his book.
Well, he said, I was surprised but not shocked that Schilty walked away. But when Mike Schilt arrived, we were told a couple of things that seemed very clear. He's a really good manager. And he can be difficult at times. There was a reason they let him go in St. Louis after a couple of years. It wasn't a lack of success on the field. So you knew he was coming with some baggage when he arrived. And you wondered.
But we didn't know what that was.
But we had some indications that it was certainly personnel interaction. And when he got here, we were wondering, well, you know, people do grow and change and sometimes learn from previous experience, and maybe he will do some of that. But it also seems clear that there is a, you know, part of his personality that is difficult for his colleagues to deal with. It was difficult for the media to deal with. We never made any, we never hid that at all.
Never.
Over the last couple of years. that he could sometimes be a difficult personality to deal with. Doesn't mean he's not a good person. Doesn't mean he's not a really good manager who did a great job and has always done a good job. And I will contend again today. It's going to be difficult to replace him.
I'm probably just splitting hairs here, but I would say that that does make you a difficult manager. Like, if you're difficult to work with and not working well with your people, you're a good baseball coach. Like, you know baseball, but you're not a good leader of men how you act.
They loved him. The players liked playing for Schulte. You know
why? When you're the manager, you're not just in charge of 26
Correct.
Players.
But the 26... They by all accounts liked playing for him.
But now, when you're the head honcho, bro, it's more than just 26 guys. You are in charge of everybody, to some degree.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that will be a huge, huge topic today, certainly. But I want to be careful about kicking a guy while he's down. Certainly, I think that's not who we are. That's not who I am. That's not what we want to do. But I think it is an interesting article. But again, I just knowing it like as intimately as I did, I certainly wasn't surprised by much of this at all. And I thought there was some interesting buts in there too. You know, like, hey, he was this, but he made me better, right? Like, there's a lot of that too. So we'll talk about it today. But man, it is just. It is just insane. And here we go. The first one of the day, Leonardo. My gosh, it's those two divas, Manny and Tatis. Even if they get someone they like, they will get him fired. So he didn't get fired. I've got a picture, my DMs, from our buddy that tweeted me. His daughter's boyfriend, Sunday, at breakfast with Mike Schilt and Manny Machado, right? We've done this. Schilt and Tati are massively close, extremely close. Mike Schilt walked away from baseball because I think he felt it was killing him. To continue to put blame on these two guys is absurd. It's absurd. I don't hear this narrative out of Philly. Bryce Harper's the leader of the clubhouse, yeah? Trey Turner, those guys, the high price guys that didn't show up in October, haven't won a ring. I don't hear this out of there. I wonder why I don't hear it. It's very odd.
I mean, it's fair to criticize Bryce Harper and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado for not hitting in the playoffs.
But to couch this as like, oh, it's their fault. And you don't know. You're not in that clubhouse. You know, the clubhouse, by all accounts, was really, really good. Now, Schilt's interaction with his coaches wasn't, according to this article. It was not at all. But holy cow, man, I hear this narrative all the time, and it makes me nuts. It makes me nuts.
As I mentioned, and Paulie said, you know, interesting question, would this have all come out if Mike Schilt was staying around, as he was expected to do? And he said, yeah, I'm back. I'm going to continue to serve out my contract. Would we have learned all this? The other thing that I want to know is, what if the Padres had continued to win and gone a couple of more rounds? Would he still have walked away?
That's the other interesting part.
From the Padres. If they had gotten to the World Series this year, would that have changed anything for Mike Schilt? Was it the fact that he exited, or, as was reported, he was thinking about this back in August, that his health was already...
Where did things start to turn sour? And middle of end of August and into September.
Well, and
team wasn't playing well.
Yeah, I mean, again, if he wins the World Series, he ain't leaving. Winning literally cures everything. It cures everything.
Because 20 of those people that talk to Kevin Acey maybe aren't talking if they win the World Series.
Of course, because they won a World Series.
Right.
I don't go through the article again. I don't think that Kevin Acey got many, if any, of those quotes or stories in the 24 hours since Mike Schilt resigned.
These are stories
from over the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As manager of the Padres. So they had already expressed, you know, their difficulties with Mike Schilt privately to people, and those stories were circulating around. They're not unknown to us either.
No.
You know,
we experienced some of this. We absolutely experienced some of this. But, you know, back to the winning cures everything.
I'm honestly surprised you guys weren't mentioned by name.
So am I. I actually was, too.
I'm dead ass serious.
Adam texted me, read this article. I go, did we get mentioned? He goes, just read it. I go, great, we got mentioned. But we didn't. I'm watching the playoffs. Freddie Freeman's body language after striking out was horrible. It was piss poor. He hung his head, kind of shuffled back to the dugout. You're not going to see one single solitary word. You know why? Freddie Freeman wins. He won, and he's winning. He's going to win another one. I saw Mookie Betts not run hard on a double play, that not last night, the night before. Didn't run hard at all. Cadillac down to first base. Pissed off that he hit into a double play. Not going to see one word about it. And that's okay. You know why? Because they win. When Manny and Fernando win, no one's going to care. They have to, though. That's their legacy is defined by winning a World Series. As I think every friggin' player should be. And you got players out there like, I don't care. You know, I don't think it's those guys. I think they really genuinely want to win. But you don't see that narrative out of other clubhouses. And I wonder why that is. Especially in Philly and places like that. You don't see it. You don't see it. And is Fernando Tatis Jr. the first baseball player to ever have bad body language and wear his heart on his sleeve when he doesn't get his way? No, PCA did it last week. He threw his bat and everyone goes, God, man, look at how gritty he is. I love the grittiness of that guy. If Manny does it, cancer. Cancer. And that's BS. And that pisses me off every single year. Every single year we have this conversation. And it pisses me off and it's unfair. And it's a little bit dog whistly, if I'm being honest with you.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong.
I'm absolutely right. I'm absolutely right. So it's, you know, again, winning cures all. Mike Schilt is the skipper of the San Diego Padres in 2026 if they win the World Series. Hell, if they even got to the World Series, I think he's still the skipper. But you lose like that, you go out 2 years in a row when you feel like you should have advanced, and the world starts crumbling on you, and you know, you can't take criticism and all that, as we read in the article and as we personally know. Yeah, man, your hair starts falling out, your heart starts beating fast, you can't sleep, you're sick all the time. 100% you walk away. You leave money on the table. We'll talk about it. It's very, very interesting. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, we will go through some of what AJ Preller had to say yesterday. Feels almost like old news now, 20 hours ago when he met with the media. There's certainly some interesting things there to go through. But see a lot of people in our chat who are trying to catch up. And if they have not read the Kevin Acey piece, let me just boil it down to one paragraph here, and then we will discuss coming up. Nearly 20 sources, 12 of them who worked with Schilt on a daily basis during the season, have in recent months characterized Schilt as unyieldingly demanding of his coaching staff and the team support staff, and as having a tendency to micromanage and possessing a quick temper that is easily triggered by questioning or feedback. And he goes on for, I don't know, a couple thousand words on after that with some specific instances and examples from anonymous sources within the team about, you know, the difficulty of working with Mike Schilt, not for players, but for coaches and staff and front office members for the San Diego Padres, and why, you know, things could sometimes be a grind in the San Diego Padres organization.
You can set your watch to these articles. October, you can set your watch to a Kershaw meltdown in the postseason and an article about the San Diego Padres being an unruly, impossible place to work. You can set your watch to it. We are so used to these. You should pull up all the other ones from the last 8 years since we've been a show. There's one every year. And until they win, there's going to be one every single year until that happens.
All right, let's take a timeout. We'll get Kelly's check of traffic. Hopefully the roadway's a little better than they were yesterday. And then we will jump right in to all the Padres news of the day. I know that's why you tune in here at 97.3 The Fan. Ben and Woods and Paul on a Wednesday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG 000466. For a full list of games and rules, played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First up, though, Woods and I want to remind you, whatever time of day it is, dark, 6:25 a.m. on a Wednesday, if you're just getting off an overnight shift, you want a place to hang out, unwind, 7 Mile Casino is your 24-7 option in San Diego, a town that is not exactly known for its 24-7 options. We're not Vegas here.
It's very, very true. We are not Las Vegas. I'm glad that we're not Las Vegas, Benny. I'm glad that we are San Diego, and I'm glad that many, many Tier 1s have experienced 7 Mile Casino for themselves. If you haven't, make it a point to get down there, play some cards, or just go for lunch. Go for lunch, go for dinner, have a great time. Got a great view of the bay out on the patio. It's a smoke-free environment, so you're good there. No slot machines there. If you like slot machines, I'm not ripping on slot machines. I just don't want to hear it.
No, but like yesterday wasn't a patio day necessarily.
Right.
But inside's really comfortable, too. If it's not a great day, it's still a great day to go to 7 Mile Casino. They treat you well. If you're a high roller, high limit player, they have games spread for you on Texas Hold'em, California-style blackjack. Good dealers. You know, the little things that card players truly enjoy. They take care of them well at 7 Mile Casino. It's our place. Make it yours. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing that has not changed in the last 24 hours, despite the intrigue of Kevin Acey's piece that we're going to discuss, Mike Schilt did, in fact, walk away from the job.
Yes.
On his own volition.
Yes.
Walked away from the money, the contract, and could have come back if he wanted to. Now, after this piece is out, we'll let you make the decision whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing for the San Diego Padres that Mike Schilt is walking out the door. I think, as the piece indicates, a lot of good from Mike Schilt. Some changes in the organization, the culture, a lot of positive things that he brought over the last couple of years, but certainly some difficulty behind the scenes that was revealed in a very, very interesting piece that Kevin Acey wrote for the Union Tribune. We'll talk about that coming up over the next hour or so. We'll also get into last night's Game 2 of the National League Championship Series. Dodgers sure seem like they are on an uninterrupted run to a second straight World Series title. I get they still need to win 6 games, and we see teams, the Phillies a couple of years ago, coming to mind that looked like they were unbeatable, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of stops.
Yeah, the thing just...
They didn't have pitching like that.
But, no, they didn't. Nobody does. No, maybe nobody ever has. That is pretty... Again, I got a nice tweet from a Dodger fan yesterday. He goes, I appreciate Woodsy for what he said. I'm a hater, but I'm not an idiot. You can't watch that as a baseball fan and not go, God bless, that dude is locked in, man. Talking about Yamamoto and, of course, talking about Snell. I go, yeah, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. Like, I'm a hater. I'm not an idiot. The guy was legendarily good, as was Blake Snell the night before, as Tyler Glasnow will probably be tomorrow.
Well, we're used to seeing a team's 5-starter that nobody's ever heard of come out and shove against us. We're like, well, you know, he's a good pitcher.
Hey, tip our hat to him.
Tip your cap. Like, dude, playoffs are different. When you got a guy like Yamamoto or Snell, like, we haven't even seen Glasnow or Ohtani in the series yet.
Right.
You're like, how does that team lose?
You can't.
When
and
you
if
can
they
throw,
did, it's been the biggest. It's the biggest failure of all time.
You can throw Yamamoto and Snell alone. You could throw them 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts, man.
Yeah, we also can talk about something you texted us during the game last night. Is what the Brewers? I mean, you know they have one weakness. You have to get into their bullpen. You got to find a way to make their starting pitchers work a little bit more. They can't be going into the 8th and 9th inning.
You guys have 80, 90 pitches.
You can't. Just no chance to beat the Dodgers this way.
Isn't that such a symptom of what happens to teams in the playoffs? They try to go outside of what they're good at. Now, again, playing contact patient baseball, not easy to do when you're looking across the field and you got the LA Dodgers staring you down, Benny. So they got out of their game plan, and Yamamoto is out there throwing 9-pitch innings, and you're done. You're absolutely cooked.
We'll talk about that. We've got a Padres smorgasbord at 7:35. AJ Preller yesterday in his news conference said he believes this is a very attractive managerial opening, maybe the most attractive managerial opening in baseball. So we're going to go through and see if that claim rings true to us. And if it is, then what are the best jobs available? What are the worst jobs available right now? There's currently 8 openings for managers in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And I didn't get the sense from AJ yesterday that the Padres will be one of the first to fill that opening.
No, I didn't get that either.
Feels like it's going to be
a few weeks, at least.
Yeah, it's going to be, he said, a thorough process. They're just compiling their list of people to interview now.
He also said his phone was blowing up with people asking for the job. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Then they'll go through probably interviews, then probably cut it down to 2 or 3 and do a second round of interviews. He mentioned, you know, we don't have to have someone in place by, say, the GM meetings. Those are usually at the end of November, I believe.
Is that what they are?
Early to middle, like second
late
week.
November. So, you know, maybe it's by then. Maybe it's just after then. But it certainly sounds like don't expect, like, before the World Series or anything. This isn't a Texas Rangers situation where there's going to be a manager in place in 3 days for the San Diego Padres. Sounds like it's going to be a longer process than that. Coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods, appearing on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline, Jordan Schusterman, our friend from Cespedes Family Barbecue, of course, longtime Mariners fan covering the ALCS
for
Yahoo and their website. Very exciting, certainly, series. And the Mariners will try to take a 3-0 lead at home, try to get to their first World Series. Can do that in just the next couple of days if they continue playing the way they will. It'll be fun to talk to Jordan about that at 8:35. All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro criminal defense attorneys, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. And then around everything, our regular segments like Don't Do This, Take on Woods, and the Rindle Report as we head toward 10 o'clock this morning. But let's check traffic,
Woo! Get
into the juicy meat of what was dropped last
meat night.
Well, that's why you're making a pot roast at home.
How did you gain all the weight?
From juicy meats.
Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For good or bad, yeah, it's soap opera at Petco Park. And it doesn't mean that the Padres are necessarily doing things wrong. This is entertainment, after all. Are you not entertained?
If you're not entertained, I don't know what to tell you.
But, for the revelations from last night. And let's start with what is probably considered maybe a bombshell around baseball, although I
can
get
you do it in soap opera voice? A bombshell.
A bombshell
around Major League Baseball. How dare you?
I do think it was probably well known inside baseball why Mike Schilt was fired by the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
After successful seasons.
Yeah, you heard philosophical differences.
That was the official explanation.
That is a very broad term. Is it philosophical about, like, if all of a sudden, Ben, you decided, Woodsy, I want to pivot in a different direction. I want to go straight NBA and NFL. I would say, I quit. I don't want to be here. If we got fired and hired by another place that said, I want you guys to do NBA and NFL exclusively, I would say, I quit. I don't want to do that. Right? That's a philosophical difference. Or was it, we can't deal with his personality and he doesn't like our personality? Or was it both?
And according to the reporting from Kevin Acey, that the real reason the Cardinals let go of Mike Schilt was that his entire coaching staff threatened to quit and walk away if they did not.
Good Lord.
Because he was that difficult to work for in St. Louis.
Okay.
Now, the Padres hired him after that for a non-managerial role. You know, player development. Something that Schilte is unquestionably passionate about.
So good at.
And has devoted his life to. And says it often, talking about how he's a steward of the players and their careers and trying to help them get the most out of their careers and their lives.
I believe it.
100%.
Whole hog. Whole hog. I crank that hog. I absolutely believe that whole hog, that he lives and dies with making players better. I fully believe it. So I'm in.
It's an admirable quality.
No question.
A very admirable quality that Mike Schilt had on display in his 4 years with the San Diego Padres organization. And I firmly believe it's one of the reasons the Padres have had success.
Correct.
You know, 3 playoff appearances in these last 4 years. Mike Schilt helped this organization move forward because of some of his beliefs and even maybe some of his methods that were met with resistance. But just like in St. Louis, once he became the manager, the coaching staff bristled at, you know, his methods, and his personality at times was very difficult to deal with. And that's what this piece by Kevin Acey kind of details in many thousands of words.
You know, the one thing that is so weird to me is that it seems that Preller and Schilt were the perfect match, because Mike Schilt devoted 24 hours a day to baseball, just like A.J. Preller does. For me, you know, working for a guy like A.J. Preller, you couldn't do it if you had 2 small kids at home. You shouldn't do it if you have 2 small kids at home. You shouldn't. This should not be the job for you. Mike Schilt was a perfect fit for the A.J. Preller style of, I live it, I breathe it, I eat it, I sleep it, I'll be in early, I'll stay late, whatever you need. It should have been a perfect match. And I think, by all accounts, their relationship is still pretty good, is what they said, both of them. And so, but when it comes to, Ben, dealing with the people that are quote-unquote under you, this is where things got a little squirrely with Schilte.
Yeah, according to Kevin Acey, you know, there was 2 sides of Mike Schilt. With the players, he would be, you know, supportive and cordial.
Yep.
With his coaches and staff members, the opposite.
That's
he
tough.
Said, sometimes within a matter of seconds, quote, as he berated a staff member before walking out to the clubhouse with a smile on his face. And it became very difficult for many of the coaches to deal with that.
That's Acey, like, creepy thought. Like, when I read that, I was kind of like, skeeved.
The skeeves a little bit?
Because I can also 100% believe it and kind of see it playing out in my brain.
Yeah, that's why I said when I saw this, none of this was a shock to me at all. He's done it to me before, in the dugout once. I've told the story many times.
Well, here's the quote, and tell your story.
Yeah.
But the quote is, the Padres enlisted people internally to work with Schilt regarding his penchant to snap at colleagues and even superiors who he perceived were questioning him, according to multiple sources. Plan for the offseason was for there to be more discussions and work done regarding his interactions with staff and media.
It was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me ever. I told the story, I think, like the next day, because I took it pretty lightly at the time. But, you know, you read this stuff and then you're like, I mean, I've seen it. The Vetter Cup thing was going down. We had him on a Friday. And I was like, big Pearl Jam fan, right? I'm a music guy. And he laughed and we played along and we played it up. And he's like, yeah, you know, get me a t-shirt. I go, I got one for you. I'll bring you a Pearl Jam shirt, right? Then they go out, they lose all 3 games to the Seattle Mariners. So next week, we're in the dugout, and I'm like, Schilte, I got that Pearl Jam shirt for you. And he turns to me, Ben, and he stares a dagger through me, and he goes, you can't tell, just twist the knife. Thinking that I was talking S.
You guys lost to the Mariners. So
here's your Pearl Jam shirt, right? But that's not what it was. It was simply a callback to an interview we did of, hey, I got your Pearl Jam shirt. I can bring it for you. And he thought he took it really personally. And I go, and then I saw it. On the turn of a dime. Is that a phrase? He turned on a dime, and you could see he's like, oh, God, there's people around. I can't rip this kid in half. I can't rip this guy in half right now because there's people. And then he started laughing and like patted me on the back. And I was standing there going, no, that's not what I was talking about. And you saw it, man, just this quick temper, quick to react, like, what? You question, you know, like you're sticking in the knife. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. I'm a ball breaker. Now, I wasn't even breaking balls. It was just a callback. So none of this really surprised me, man. And I saw it.
And, of course, we personally were very interested in a specific part of Kevin Acey's piece, and that was how Schilt's interactions with the media were in many ways telling of what was going on behind the scenes. And he wrote, people all over the organization regularly tuned in to watch Schilt's post-game news conferences. Their curiosity was not so much about the manager's insight into the game as much as they wanted to see what happened when the manager was questioned. Schilt treated many queries as if they were personal attacks. Even innocuous questions could cause him to lash out, either acting as if the question had no basis or causing him to rail against perceived slights. What unfolded in the interview room would be viewed by those who worked for and with Schilt with head shaking and sometimes with gallows humor. Yeah, we felt it a few times, certainly over the last couple of years. So again, we weren't shocked by anything that Kevin Acey wrote in this piece yesterday. Although for me, maybe the extent of it surprised me a little bit, because I didn't realize that maybe behind the scenes there were so many employees, staff members that felt that way about, you know, Schilt's ire and temper behind the scenes, because he did not show that off publicly. He was very careful, as you said, like to not let that side of him show unless it was behind closed doors.
Yeah, for sure. Padres Pat says, everyone in SD Media told us immediately there's more to the story than just Schilt health issues, but you boys took that story at face value. You three should be apologizing to your listeners today. I will not apologize to my listeners because
I pushed back.
It's still 100% true. Mike Schilt's health and what
I said
he felt
something's
is why
fishy. Something
he,
doesn't sound right.
But
here.
It's still why he walked away, though.
We knew all this.
I didn't know it was that bad with his staff.
Again, he walked away. It was his choice to walk away because of his health. I don't think that is untrue at all.
I don't either.
Now, why was his health so bad? Because, well,
he's beefing with his staff,
people he was working with were frustrated with him, and he was frustrated back at, you know, the what he felt like was, you know, he didn't think he was being treated fairly necessarily by his staff.
So
that
again,
they were, why are you complaining? I'm trying to make you better. I'm trying to win. Isn't that the job here? That was his point, and I think fans, that will resonate with some fans.
Pat, I would apologize to you if it came out that Mike Schilt was fired.
Exactly.
I would have totally be like, hey, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I really would. I'd say, oh, man, I can't believe I'll always admit I'm wrong. I'm not wrong on this. He walked away and said, I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to deal with it. And if you hear those rumors that, like, hey, man, we're going to have to sit in a room this off season, we're going to have to drill down on this stuff some more, I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me to do. You know, he doesn't like to be questioned. That's okay. But I think it didn't change anything for me. Nothing. It's stuff I already knew. It's stuff that I experienced personally, Pat. I saw it. We all saw it. If you ever listened to the show on a Friday, you heard it. So I think it doesn't change one single thing for me. I do think he was tired of the garbage. I do think his hair was falling out. I do think he was unwell. And I do think he got death threats. You know, people did say that. Like, it's not fun. I, as a radio host, have gotten weird ransom letters sent to my home. It's weird. It's weird. It's not going to make me quit. But I think he just didn't. I'll say this, and I think I could say this, like, as someone that's experienced some of this, I've learned from a lot of the mistakes I made in the past. I've made changes. I've worked really hard to make changes. I don't think Schilt did.
He pretty much admits in the article that he didn't.
He wasn't like, going to.
Kevin took quotes from Mike right after he was fired by St. Louis and took the advisor role here in San Diego, kind of looking back at what happened, and you know, because the Cardinals didn't really say, they just had philosophical differences. And he has direct quotes from Schilt. Yeah, you know, I got to change how I do things a little bit. You know, I can understand how some things might have rubbed guys the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then it's like 2 years later, nothing changed. And he even goes, yeah, I can admit I probably do things a little bit differently. Well, I rub people the wrong way.
Like
I can see it.
If you don't learn from the mistakes that torpedoed you in the past, it's on you, you know? Really, like if you're given another chance, and if he gets another chance in baseball, I hope he learns from these past two. And again, I don't want to tap dance on the dude because I had a tremendous amount of fun with Mike Schilt at times. And again, I hope we're not sitting in here in a year from now going, man, we won 83 games this year and missed the playoffs.
I'm going to say something that sounds pretty insane right now, given this article and everything we're reading. I think A.J. Preller made a good hire 2 years ago
too.
With Mike Schilt. And I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't go back.
Same.
He made a good hire, and Mike Schilt did good things for this organization. And now,
I think he made a good hire with Bob Melvin, and it just soured. He took us as far as anybody other manager has taken us.
I think
things were great in 2022.
I think with Melvin, there was a bit of a early disconnect that AJ didn't see coming.
I'm saying he hired the manager. The manager brought success to San Diego. That was successful. Jace Tingler was not as successful.
And that was a bad hire.
And perhaps
there was no future there.
The Padres are catching a break that Mike Schilt is leaving on his own and that they can now move on.
I'm telling you.
Take the good and move on from Mike Schilt.
Because, you know, listen, if he had stayed and it would have been two more years of this, that would have been really, I think, you know, honestly, that everybody, himself included, I think everybody dodged a bullet here and we move on, right? Very interesting stuff, though. Very, very interesting.
All right. If you have thoughts, you can obviously join our YouTube stream. We will talk more about this as we continue on. We'll also get to game two of the NLCS last night. More Dodger dominance. We're just 1 hour in. Woo! Good start to the day on a Wednesday. Bennett Woods and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.